Ocean FM.
Donegal Plumbing and Heating, Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town. Suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samson and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs. And sponsors of the Donegal GAA podcast.
It's just fabulous to see him alive and up and picking her up.
Gemma's won a match. Gemma's won a game.
The thing about the club is you don't choose your club. It's like family.
You want to get back out on the field. It's just it's in your blood, I suppose. And you just want to get out there now and get the games going again.
Brian Murray,
thank you.
Let me shake hands with you. You come in here hobbling. How are you feeling now?
Oh, I'm all right. I tell you nothing but a couple of pints won't do, I'll tell you, you know.
He gets a bit behind it. He launches it in. It's over the bar. The wee man.
Yes, and welcome to the Donegal GAA podcast with Ocean FM. Paddy McGill here. Okay, we are into the quarter-final stage of the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship. Jim McGuinness's Donegal take on Louth Crow Park Sunday at 1:15. After that, it's Derry v Kerry, and of course, on Saturday, then the All-Ireland champions Dublin take on Galway and Armagh take on Roscommon. That one at 4 o'clock, and yeah, the Dublin-Galway game at 6:15. I am delighted to be joined by two greats of Donegal, Jason Byrne from Killybegs and Gary McDade from Glenswilly. How are you, lads?
All right, Paddy, thanks.
I'm all right. I heard through the grapevine, Gary, there are strong rumours, and I think Jason was reporting on it in the Irish Sun as well, that, and I don't want to believe them, Gary, that you may be going to Taylor Swift and Shania Twain over the Donegal game this weekend.
Could be a double up.
Can you dismiss those rumours?
No comment.
Yeah, okay. You're definitely going to Shania Twain. That's what I'm hearing through the grapevine.
I'd be more a Shania Twain fan than a Taylor Swift fan now.
I have absolutely no doubt about that. How's the farming going?
I have a lot of good sheepdog pups for sale, Paddy, if you know anybody interested. Top quality breeding behind them. There's a good few gone, so there's a couple left there.
Good man. Good way to promote it on the podcast. They are beautiful, to be fair, so hopefully they get an owner. Lads, just before we start, I think for any GAA supporter right throughout the country, the news yesterday that broke the great broadcaster, in my opinion, the greatest ever, Micheál Ochomura Hurtig, passed away at the age of 93. He really was, and I was trying to explain to a friend of mine yesterday, who's not a huge GAA fan, but he was just literally the soundtrack of our youth, wasn't he, growing up? Jason, you would have met him loads of times on the national circuit. He really was the king.
Yeah, he was, Paddy. Like, it was such an honour to meet him so many times, and it was always such an honour to be in his presence. Like, the first time I met him was when I was in college in NUIG in 2006. He was chairing a debate about professionalism in the GAA, and even though he was chair, he was fairly nailing his colours to the mast. He was like, this isn't the way we need to go. It's mad, like, to think that was so many years ago now. But like, he was just an icon. And like, I remember, I think it was the Dublin Kerry draw in the Ireland final in 2019. He always had his honorary seat in the Croke Park press box, and he rocked in and he sat down beside me, and we had a great chat before the game. And I was just saying to Gary before we came on air there that when the ball was actually thrown in, he was just captivated by the match, and there wasn't much chat out of him. But I remember sitting there looking at him thinking, if he was calling this one now, what would he be coming out with? You know, what would he surely have been adding to his reams of iconic quotes? And like, yesterday the tributes were pouring in from everywhere, right? But Michael Murphy, our own greatest, was on a media call when he actually heard the news, and I thought his tribute was probably the best one I heard yesterday. He said, the best communicators, you can hear them, but you're also able to feel them. And he had a way of doing that. A phenomenal storyteller and just a really engaging communicator who could awaken all your senses. Some of the legendary lines he had for describing places and people, he was something else. I just thought that was a magical tribute when they were pouring in from everywhere yesterday. And you know, an icon, and he'll be sorely, sorely missed. And it'll be a very emotional few days down in Kerry, and it'll be a very emotional few weeks for all the big games in Croke Park. Like, I'm sure the GAA have their own tributes planned for him this weekend, and probably at the All Ireland finals as well. And he was just one in a million. He was fantastic, and it was a pleasure to meet him on so many occasions. May he rest in peace.
Yeah, it was his voice for me and his love. And I know the quotes are doing the rounds, and they will be for the next couple of weeks, and they're really good. But it was that distinctive voice that he had, and his just pure, raw passion for the game. And his anecdotes, I read that from Dunsheen to Croke Park, and the stories and the graph for the language for the Irish culture. He was bigger than the GAA, I thought. He was what it meant to almost be Irish. And I think my memories are, and it's not actually the quotes, Gary, it would be going to, and you're probably the same, it's leaving Breffni Park 15, 20 years ago at a match, or St. Chirnock's Park, Clonus, or the Athletic Grounds, and you're on the 2 o'clock game, and you're driving home listening to Micheál at a big Munster game. He's in Fitzgerald Stadium, or he's in Croke Park, and he's just bringing you the action, and the windows are down in the car, and you're driving out in traffic, and everybody's sticking the head in to see what Micheál said, or you're leaving Fintra or Pierce Memorial Park, Ardra, and there's a big game on. He really was the voice of the GAA, Gary.
Yeah, and there was a wee phrase, Dushik le Duhra le Brahe Gahle, which now, my Irish is not great, so it mightn't be pronounced exactly right there, but it was the wife was telling me, you know, and it means awaken with enthusiasm with the dawning of every day. That's what the direct translation is. And I thought it was just lovely, you know. And probably what you said there, Paddy, that he was bigger in the GAA. Like, my wife's not really into sport and that, and she wouldn't really know many players, so she wouldn't, but she knows Micheál Moriarty, and she would be able to tell me things that I didn't know about Micheál Moriarty. And that probably says a lot about the man, that he touched people beyond the GAA, you know, because if there's a match in the radio, that, like, you know, she wouldn't switch it on to that, but she would listen to Micheál Moriarty in the days gone by when he was on the radio. So he had a huge way of pulling the people in, and listen to the quotes and the stories. And my favourite one was the one he told when he was in Madison Square Garden, I think it was, or in Times Square maybe, and he said he missed the Kerry Club Championship the week before. He was in New York, and he said he thought he'd try the boy at the newsstand in Times Square, that he had the Kerry man, and he says the Egyptian boy behind the counter working at the newsstand says, do you want the North Kerry or the South Kerry edition? And he says, I'll have both. And he says, now Brian Gurner's back on his feet. He was in the middle of a game, you know. Absolutely brilliant, iconic, you know. It just nearly brought a numbness and a rawness when I heard the news yesterday, you know, when I was telling the Waynes this morning when they were getting ready for school, the last day for school today. And, you know, and even again, it showed the part he had to play, because my wife had already told them about Micheál Moriarty dying. You know, they're only young, like, they wouldn't really have heard him and that, and they were able to tell me he was 93 and 94 or whatever he was, you know, and they were able to tell me stories. The Chiefs told stories yesterday when he died. So it just shows the power of someone good that touches the lives of so many people. And your point is definitely right, that it went beyond the GAA.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. That Dunsheen's Croke Park as well, he had a huge love. Donegal get mentioned in it so much because of the Irish language. And he was, you know, I suppose it's tangible. Loads of people actually got to meet him, but he was talking about playing golf before the 92 final. And he was up and around southwest Donegal, and he was playing in Yarn and Portnoy just outside Ardra. And he said he was with a couple of locals, and he just said, you know, they said, you'll have to come back up soon, Micheál. And he was basically saying, I'll tell you what, I'll come back. He had other plans, I think, the following week. And he said, you know what, I'll come up if you beat Dublin. Like, but sure, he was in his own head, he was only messing. He goes, there's not a chance Donegal will beat Dublin. And then I think the following Wednesday, he was on the tee box again on the first in Yarn and Portnoy. But very good. And there was another brilliant one, Mosey, and the last one on it. But it was those little anecdotes, like, there was in that book again, there was one, he was talking to an Antrim supporter, and the Antrim supporter, they were at an All-Ireland hurling final, and the Antrim supporter said to him, I feel sorry for hurling fans from Tipperary, Cork and Kilkenny. And I was reading it going, where's he going with this one? And Micheál says to him, Micheál was thinking obviously the same thing, and he was like, how can someone from Antrim feel sorry for them? So he asked him why, and he says, because if their county is not in an All-Ireland hurling final, they don't have an All-Ireland hurling final. We have one every single year. And it was just, it's just, his words were so powerful.
Yeah, 100%. Paddy, like, I was watching, going through old clips yesterday. I had to write a big tribute piece for him myself. And the one came up on Twitter of Sean O'Gohalpin on the with Micheál on the Ray D'Arcy show. And he said that when you were driving home from a match, like, that it felt like you were watching the match on the windscreen. Like, it, I thought it was a great way to describe it. Like, but it's like, any time I met him, he always mentioned 92. He nearly always mentioned 92. Like, and I remember the first time I met him that time in 2006 in the college, once I said Kelly Beggs, he was listing off the boys, Manus Boyle, Barry McGowan, John Cunningham, Barry Cunningham. He was just reaming them. Like, if you said, he had a habit of doing that with people. Like, if you said where he was from, he would have his list. Like, you know, like, I guarantee you, he definitely mentioned that in Malloy to you anyway, Paddy, and, you know, all the greats from down there in Ardra. But that's, you know, he, like, there wasn't many people who actually didn't meet him over the course of his life. And when he did meet someone, he always had a mutual connection. He always knew someone that you knew. And that was always how he kind of broke the ice with people, and why people felt so comfortable around him as well. And he never stopped smiling. He had time for everybody. And, like, he loved, like, a lot of people came up, you know, reminded people yesterday as well, no matter where he was going, he loved taking the back roads. You know, if he was driving from Cork to Dublin, like, he tended to avoid the motorway. He loved taking the back roads and just taking in the country and taking in the scenery and pulling in for a bit of diesel and chatting to people for half an hour and going off on his way again. And he was just a brilliant man. Like, we'll never see the likes again. The landscape of the GAA and the media has changed drastically since he first came on the scene in 1949. And, you know, we'll never see the likes of him again. Absolutely no way. And it's just so sad that he's gone.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Lovely words, lads. An absolute icon, a legend, and the king of GAA commentary, in my opinion. Gary, Donegal v Louth Sunday. What was your feelings when you heard the draw, which should have been on Sunday night? But anyway, that story's for another day. We all had to get up early Monday morning. What was your thoughts, immediate thoughts, Gary?
Ah, well, listen, Paddy, look, let's call a spade here. It's if you could have picked a name, if you could have went in, put the hand under the hat with one eye open, it's the one you'd have been looking for, you know. And I think we're good. You know, I wouldn't have wanted to draw any of the other teams. We'll let them sit and let them knock the head of somewhere else. Not saying that life's going to be easy. Not saying that we need to underestimate Louth as supporters. I know the management and players won't underestimate them. It's very important, I suppose, that we don't underestimate them as supporters. I think the draw is good. I think Louth, their first ever quarter final. You know, the celebrations they had last weekend against Cork. You know, there wasn't those kind of celebrations when we kind of topped the group against Clare that day or made the quarter final. You know, they've kind of hit their ceiling at the minute. I think they're more than happy of where their season has gone. You know, when you reel it back and think about, geez, the boys were in disarray or whatever, with Mickey Hart and Gavin Devlin leaving them, so they were. And you know, I was watching the game in GAA Go last week, and it was interesting listening to the interviews afterwards. And one of the players commented, it was like a death, he said, in the family when the two boys left. He says, I thought it was real honesty off him, but he says J.R. Brennan came in and he says he's put his own spin on it. He says he didn't change the whole thing around. He adapted what they were doing. He says because what they were doing was good. And he said they owe Mickey Hart and Gavin Devlin a lot for where they've taken them. But you could feel that tinge of soreness there as well, maybe let down. But he was very much happy. He felt the J.R. has added wee bits. He hasn't changed the script massively, but added wee bits. And I think J.R. Brennan, in fairness to him, it was a tough job to take over. Such big men to follow. Louth were on the crest of a wave going really high, but he's probably been really smart. He brought in Niall Moyna, who I would kind of know and have met him quite a few times at different events around the country. Really intelligent, smart man. Brilliant GAA man. Good people person. And wee James McCartan as well. Like, you can imagine, like, the experience of James and Niall has helped a lot. Kind of your man, when he was interviewed on the JGO last week, he referred to the two boys as well in the back room. So they seem to have a nice mix there, you know, and I think the county board has really backed them. He talked about Peter Fitzpatrick, the previous management team, Jared Brennan. He talked about the new county management team, as in, sorry, the executive team, not management team, that they have good backing there. Listen, there's plenty of money in Louth, as we know, and you know, so money's not going to be an issue, but they seem to have their house in good order, Paddy, after a difficult 6 weeks to 2 months, maybe.
I thought they were really good against us in the league up in Ballyshannon. I know you can't read too much into the league. I left that day thinking, Louth are on the right trajectory here. Now, they have been building, as you rightly said, for the last couple of years, but I would say two things stuck out that day, how physical they were and how structured they were. And I'm not surprised they were very good against Dublin. And I'm not overly surprised they got some of these results in the group either, Gary. And I think from their point of view, and I'd be saying the same if it was the opposite, they having a week to prepare for this is probably not really fair on them. And I know we'll talk about structures and that they would probably love 2 weeks because, as you said, that's one of their biggest wins that they've had in the last 20, 30 years. And they don't really have that much time to prepare.
Yeah, I'm sure they'd have loved it. Had a wee night celebration last Sunday, but they couldn't do that, you know, they couldn't afford to do it. Whereas they had 2 weeks, they probably could have an evening together as a squad to really let that feeling sink in, because like that day was massive for Louth, like, you know, to get where they are. And it's like, I think you touched on there against Dublin. I actually thought that day was so impressive from them, what yeah. they did that day. I was so impressed, you know, when it's nearly a game that I've kind of locked away in the back of my head. So I have, because I was like, wow, I must watch that game again now in the summer when I get a chance, because I just really like the way they curtailed Dublin and the way they did it. And I think Jim McGuinness and his management team of Colm and Neil and James Gallagher and the boys will have that. That's the DVD I think they'll go to time after time to forensically go through it to see how they curtailed Dublin, because you know, they're going to be probably looking at the same sort of game plan, and the fact that it was in Croke Park. You know, I was talking to a couple of people during the week and they said, it'll suit Oscar under Croke Park, the wide open spaces. And I said, yeah, I agree with you. I says, but by Jesus, I says, these Louth boys, I says, you know, they went in and played one of the best ever teams to come across in Dublin, I says, and they did as well as anyone in the country would do against them in Croke Park. So I says, listen, you know, don't count your chickens before they're hatched. I think we have enough, but it's important not to underestimate. And I know the players and the management team won't do that, but you always get the feeling that their supporters might think, it's only Louth, you know.
The new structure, Jason, what's happening at national level with that in terms of, are you hearing anything from the Irish Sun? Are you going to meet and greet? I'm hearing that, you know, there's talk of changing yet again the structure, and that would drive me mental. I think everything's so knee-jerk. The word jeopardy has been fired around 8 million times. I never want to see that word in print ever again, or on radio, or on any form of broadcast. Should we not be just given a time? Like, why is everything, well, I don't like the structure, let's change it. Let's move, let's change. You don't start a job and just pack it in after a couple of days because it's not working. And a couple of days is like a year in the GAA. Is it that bad? Like, this word jeopardy, there's been absolutely huge jeopardy. Talk to some of my friends and we don't really at times get the outrage. Like, jeopardy. Are you saying Galway didn't have jeopardy by not topping the group? There was absolutely jeopardy on steroids by not topping the group. Like, huge. Like, Galway didn't top it. Look what happened. Mayo fell short. Unlucky. Look what happened. Galway could have been Armagh. Well, they may not have necessarily had the same draw as Armagh, but like, I think a lot of fans were on Twitter and on Facebook saying Mayo Dublin was like a dead rubber. Sure, Mayo were out the following week. And sure, the Galway Armagh game was absolutely huge. Galway win that. They have a 2 week break. They have a quarter final and possibly don't get Shane Walsh injured. Like, my God, do people seriously not think there's jeopardy? Or is it the fact that only four teams were eliminated? Sorry for the rant here, but I'm like, give it a go. Try it out. See what it's like after a couple of years, and then maybe try something else. Disagree with me. You don't have to agree with me.
I think the drum that people were banging, including myself, was the fact that a team like Derry could qualify.
Okay.
Having lost three games, I think that was the angle a lot of people were coming at. Like, I was at Mayo Dublin, right? And I was at Mayo Derry. And, like, Mayo paid a massive price for throwing away leading positions in three games. It happened to them against Galway. They lost the Connacht title. It meant they weren't seeded for the group stages. It meant they went into a group with Dublin. They won their first two games. They were leading against Dublin with one last kick out to go. Kieran Kilkenny catches it, and Dublin go up and equalise. They end up in the preliminary quarter final. No 2 week break before Croke Park. Derry come to town. They're leading again in stoppage time. They take off Aidan O'Shea. He gets a standing ovation, like Lord Muck going off. And the man who's marking him, Chrissy McKay, goes up the pitch and fists the equaliser. Now, penalties are obviously an absolute lottery, but they're out and they're gone. And Derry are in the hat this weekend, and Derry go and play Kerry instead. Like, it's, you know, so that's what, you know, if you ask someone in Mayo about Jeopardy, they'd tell you all about Jeopardy. And I'd say you don't have to wander too far in the streets in Castlebar and Westport this week and see how sickened they all are. Do you know what I mean? So from that point of view, yeah, of course, there's absolute jeopardy. But I think the fact that there was three teams going through just did seem to annoy a lot of people. Like, I saw a stat before the final round of group games, and Galway had played six matches, won five and drawn one. It was after Galway. It was the night that Galway drew with Armagh. They played six championship games, they'd won five and they'd drawn one. And Derry had played five championship games, they'd lost three and won one, I think. So, like, those comparisons kind of did annoy people. Now, I know James has been going around to all the different provinces this week, kind of consulting people on the ground in different county boards and provincial councils. And I know he was in Connacht last week, and I was chatting to a man before the Mayo Derry game saying he was down, and they were just kind of doing kind of a survey with people, an unofficial survey on, you know, the structure and the calendar in particular as well, because, like, we're on a bit loud this weekend, going out three weekends in a row. That is very, very tough on them. And it would be a significant game changer if they did have a break. Like, and I'd be very surprised if the teams who've been out three weekends in a row are into the semi-finals in another 2 weeks' time because of the nature of how they've had to play 3 weeks in a row. It's very, very tough. I don't know what they're going to come up with, Paddy. I do think they need to push the calendar out a bit, though. I do think it's way too condensed. I think Donegal were the victims of that when they went down to Cork, actually.
100%. That was...
My sister was at that game, like, and she was like, they just looked wrecked, you know, and I'm sure none of them would have any issue telling you that, but, like, I do think it just needs to spread out a wee bit. Like, and Jim has been saying this from day one since he came back into the job, like, when he was handed the schedule, and he was just like, this is absolutely crazy. Like, it's not fair on... Not only is it not fair on management and players, it's very unfair on the supporters as well. We have no time to kind of digest everything. We have no time to look back. We just about have time to look forward. Donegal are in a great position here this week with, you know, with a two-week break. Everyone's been chatting about the draw all week, and that's been great. But, like, I just think it needs to spread out a bit more. And I don't know how they're going to approach the group stages going forward. I do think three teams going through is a bit much. But will that lead to more dead rubbers again? I don't know. So I honestly have no idea how they're going to tackle that issue.
With the three going through, the big problem there is you avoid dead rubbers, and it makes the last group game really interesting. The last group games, it was great crackdown in Castlebar that day, checking on the Tyrone Cork game and the other groups. You know, we're very interesting. But this weekend, we may see the four teams go well for a while. And I'll be interested to see what happens on Sunday night when we reflect on the four games. Was the 3 weeks in a row too much? What I would be suggesting there, or what I would think there, is tweak it rather than a massive, huge overhaul.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. And, you know, I was talking to Jared Burns. We had him up at the colleges in St. Eunan. So we had back in April, so we had for a wee blitz. And they were just talking about different things when he was up there. And people were talking about the structures and stuff. And they're on about the calendar, like you were talking about there. But he says, the biggest thing about the calendar, he says, He says, if I try and reduce the calendar, he says, or sorry, extend the calendar, he says, the first person on the phone, he says, is the Cork secretary. He says, because the Cork secretary, he says, they only, they have a huge championship, Paddy. You might know better with the amount of teams they have down there. We're hard at highway. I think they're the most club teams in the country.
I think they've 252 or something. Sorry, yeah. Like, yeah.
And they struggle. They have it just about. They can finish their championships at the minute. So they can, the way it's currently run, just about, I think. And then I agree wholeheartedly with Jason saying it needs just a wee space. So it does, like, you know, a wee week here or there. You know, definitely I think those teams coming in now to play, they had the extra week that would help them massively. That would mean then the quarterfinalists who would have topped the group would have had 3 weeks. You know, I'm sure they'd have been happy enough with that when you go back to the olden days when it before we had the groups and Super 8s and all that. That was quite common, and they seemed to be working well at those stages. I actually like the way the three go through, you know, because I think it keeps it really good, really interesting. The four teams have probably finished bottom of the group this year. I would say the three of us and a lot of other people would have picked the four of them at the start, finished bottom. But I don't think any of them were out of their depth. Like, you know, they were quite competitive in all the games. Westmeath, probably the best example, came up from the Dalton Cup. And, you know, I think of Down come up from the Talton Cup, which I think they will. I think they'll win it. Like, I think they'll more than hold their own in a group of four next year. I'm not saying they'll qualify, but that's a building stage. So it is. That's about progress. That's for them teams to come in there. And just because everyone is nearly obsessed with wanting to get Kerry and Dublin, make it tougher for them, just because we're making it tougher for them doesn't mean all the things we're doing at the minute, because maybe people feel it's not hard enough on Derry or on Kerry and Dublin. All the things we're doing right now, you know, doesn't mean that it's wrong.
Exactly.
That nearly comes back to the provincial argument again. So it does. I like the four groups of four. I like second and third coming out. I like the idea of second playing third. I like the idea of first being rewarded. I would nearly go a step further and the quarterfinals this weekend, Paddy, and throw them into provincial grounds. So what? When I look back last weekend at Cork going up to Inniskeen and Monaghan, wow. Jeez, I would have loved to have been there. I don't know if Jason, you were working at it or that last weekend, but it looked fantastic. Everyone was on top of the pitch, the noise, and probably because the two teams were wearing red and white, the colour around the ground was just amazing, red and white. And I was like, can you imagine us going in to play Louth, say, in Clonas this weekend or something? I would say we'd pack her out, Paddy. Damn near pack her out. I'm kind of a wee bit worried about the crowds in Croke Park this weekend. I know Donegal have good travelling. Like, you know, I was down in Castle Bar. There was just over 5,000 in Castle Bar. And I think 5,000 were Donegal. There may have been a couple of hundred of Clare supporters there. I'm a wee bit worried will it get lost in Croke Park, the crowds this weekend? Hopefully not. I don't know, Jason, you might have a better idea what kind of crowds they're expecting through the turnstiles, but I would love it if she was in provincial grounds this weekend. Can you imagine them games going around the country this weekend? The biggest game always stands out to be in provincial grounds is Kerry and Mayo, when they couldn't use Croke Park in the All-Ireland semi-final replay a couple of years ago. It was madness. Absolute chaos. So it was 50,000 packed in like sardines. And remember your mad fellow, was it Mick from Mayo? They called him. He came onto the pitch and everything. It just made the whole day. Like, I still remember that. I'm sure the two of you remember that. Like, most people will remember that game. That game wouldn't have had the same atmosphere if it was in Croke Park. Yes, you would have had maybe 55, 60,000 there. But wow, it was just unreal. It just brings that life of its own when it goes into those provincial grounds when she is packed out. Like, Inniskeen, only 7,500 last week, but by God, it was championship feel.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Jason, just looking ahead to this weekend then, Donegal Louth, how do you see that one going? Donegal in a good place?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, Paddy. You couldn't really fault them, really. Like, I think the Cork game was just a blip on the radar, really. Like, you know, I know Clare were so poor that day in Castlebar, but Donegal went down there with a job to do, and they done it brilliantly. I know Tyrone done us a massive favour against Cork, and like it's funny to think both those teams are gone now. But like at the same time, we were doing media yesterday with Gerard Brennan, and Louth are so relaxed. Gerard Brennan is clearly so relaxed because all the pressure is actually on Donegal, if you're honest about it, because of the expectation. You know, Louth have nothing to lose here. They've a shot at nothing. They're so well coached. They're so well set up at the back. They're very clinical up front. As Gary already rightly said, like they're going to be a very tough nut to crack. Gerard Brennan was telling us like that, you know, he's got a huge mutual trust with his players. And I think that's something that Jim McGuinness has as well. But like Gerard was actually telling us that, you know, he let the players let their hair down a wee bit after they beat Cork. Like they were allowed to go for a couple of pints within reason. You know, and go and mark the victory and celebrate it together. And
sorry, you know, he said, you were at their media day, he said they went for a couple of pints after the Cork game.
Said the players were allowed to have a couple of pints, yeah.
Okay.
You know, and like I think that's a good approach. Like it's not as if they were rolling into a Monday club and on the beer all day Monday either. Like you know, they went for their couple of pints, they marked the occasion, and you know, they called last orders and they started focusing on Donegal straight away. But you know, it's good to go, and like I think doing things like that really forge bonds, like, you know, and I'm sure like Donegal were able to afford to do that back in Jim's first time in charge when there were significant gaps in the calendar and that, but a lot of teams can't afford to do it anymore. But I thought it was interesting, like, and you know, Jared mentioned that when he went into the Dublin panel first, like they were, you know, they were nearly drinking all the time, and you know, that quickly changed when Jim Gavin took over and they started to dominate. But like he was kind of suggesting that it nearly went too far the other way, that, you know, players should be allowed to let their hair down a wee bit when they do pull off a significant victory. So basically the point I'm trying to make is he seems to have a massive bond with his players and a natural mutual respect, and a mutual trust that, you know, they can go and celebrate together, but they can go, you know, work hard, play hard kind of thing. So like he was just so relaxed, all the pressures in Donegal. So I think that'll make it a lot closer than the bookies think, and maybe a lot of supporters will think as well. But I do think Donegal are going to have too much for them, especially given that Louth are out 3 weeks in a row. And yes, Donegal are in a fantastic place, I think. You know, I can't wait to see them now in Croke Park in Championship. They obviously had that league final against Armagh earlier in the year, but I can't wait to see how this team under Jim take the Croker on the Championship side. And as Gary said as well, I have to agree with him. It'd be brilliant if we were heading to Clonus this weekend. You know, I remember watching that Mayo Kerry game with you, Paddy, in Dublin. I think Donegal were playing the Dubs the next day.
Yeah, watched it on Parnell Street, didn't we, in the woodshed?
Yeah, that's yeah. Where we were. Yeah, yeah. But like you think back as well, the Dublin Kerry and Thurles, you know, and Maurice Fix and all that. Like those occasions were just fantastic, and everybody still raves about them. So I do think they need to get rid of these Croke Park doubleheaders for the quarterfinals, and it adds a bit of prestige then going on to the semis when you do get the Croker. Like, how many Galway supporters are going to go to Croke Park on Saturday evening when they're playing Dublin? Like, they're not going to be able to afford a hotel room with Taylor Swift and Shania Twain coming and Gary going down for all these concerts. So that game's on at 6:15. Like, if you're from Galway, like, are you going to go to that? Are you really going to go to that when you can't afford a hotel room? I don't even think there'll be many Kerry supporters down this weekend. I know we always snipe at them and say they don't travel until the final anyway, but like Armagh will bring a crowd, Derry will bring a crowd, and Donegal will bring a crowd, and it's funny to think that that'll be the case, given the distances that are involved. But no one's going to be able to afford a hotel room, and it'll be great to see. It would just be great if some of these games were heading back to Thurles or Clonus or wherever else. Like, imagine Dublin, Galway, and Thurles. It would just be absolutely class. Like, so you were right to raise that point, Gary. I totally agree with you on that. I think the semi final should wait for Croke Park.
Yeah.
So it would be great to take them on the road. Like we saw that so many times in these group stages, the great occasions around the country. It's nearly a pity in a way we are going to Croke Park. But at the same time, from a football point of view, I can't wait to see what Donegal bring when they get in there.
What will we expect from Sunday before we talk about the other games? Any word on the injury front, Gary? You're on the ground there. You're You're working with one of the Donegal selectors, Colm Anthony McFadden. I would say he wouldn't tell you what he had for breakfast, I'd say.
He's a great man for the information.
I know people are always texting. They're always wondering, what's the word on the injury for? Honestly, it's not like 20 years ago. Genuinely, nothing gets out now, doesn't it not? Like, nah, and if it gets out and you hear something, it's generally actually not true.
Yeah, no. Nah,
Jason McGee's been asked about 5,000 times. I just take Jim on his word for it. He has been really honest with the media all year about every single injury. He doesn't tell you the exact date they're back because he probably doesn't know himself, but he is actually honest. And my feeling is we're going to see Jason McGee playing either in the quarters or if we win, and it's a big if, possibly after that.
Yeah. I wouldn't even ask the likes of Colin that about football, that, you know, because you don't listen, I've been in that position myself before when I was up with Donegal in the past and that, and it's the conversation's awkward when it goes down that line. And you know, you would say best of luck or something, you know, like, and hope it goes well for you, or talk football about something else, about other teams or something, but it'll never go down that line, because listen, they have enough worries without agents on the street talking to them like me about what's going on in their own camp. You know, Jason McGee is definitely, I don't know, you know, from talking dollars on the ground, you're saying on the ground there, you know, I don't know, I don't think, you know, I'm hearing, you know, he mightn't be back anytime soon, which is not ideal and absolutely massive. I hope I'm wrong, okay? Sometimes these stories grow legs, so they do, and hopefully the story I heard wrong. I would love, I think, the way he was playing, and having worked with Jason under 20s in the past as well, he's just a good kid, so he is, and good attitude and a serious colossal of a man. He's like Lazarus like, and you know, the way he was playing was the best football I had ever seen him playing. It reminded me some of those underage years, rolling it back when he was really dominating for Donegal underage. I actually think he was in line for an all-star if he'd have kept producing those performances. As regards this weekend, where we are, you know, as I said there, Louth, you know, I agree with you, Paddy. You mentioned earlier they're going to be physical. They're really physical. They're physically strong. They have a lot of good players. They're good in frees. Sam Mulroy from frees, like, excellent.
Their running game is absolutely brilliant. Very, yeah, very powerful. They're in phenomenal. I thought Connor Grimes is serious player. Ryan Burns, their midfield, Duffy and Dernan, they're powerful in that middle third. Craig Lennon's really good wing back. Yeah. The McKeever guy there from the Clanmacail club, good player as well.
I like Lennon on the counter. I really like him, so I do. And Grimes and Dernan and Mulroy bring a real physical edge to it. Very similar. I think we have a good physical edge to us, especially when Jason Langan's midfield and Keelan centre back. I think we have a real physical edge. So we do. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a physical battle because obviously, listen, if you're Jared Brennan, Jason was there yesterday. I'm not sure exactly, but I'm sure he didn't say to Jason, he's going to want to stay in this game for as long as possible. He wants Louth going down, Paddy, the last quarter. They want to be still in the game going down the last quarter. So he's going to set up probably similar to the way they set up against Dublin and play and hope to hit Donegal on the counter. It could come down, Paddy, for a bit of a snooze fest, because that's the way Donegal like to play as well. And it might be very cagey. Like the Cork and Louth game was very cagey. There wasn't a whole lot of... it was a low-scoring game. You know, before that game, I was looking there during the week, last weekend, Cork had scored 18 points on average against Kerry and their championship games to date. I think they played 5 championship games, and that included the likes of Kerry, Donegal, Tyrone. They were averaging 18 points, and Louth cut that 18 points down last weekend to 1-8. So they did, and only 3 points. They cut them to 3 points in the second half. So that was Cork's undoing because of Louth. They reduced them to 9 scores in the game. So Donegal mightn't be able to hit the scores that they had against Clare the last day, I've no doubt that. They're going to look to limit them as much as they can and use that counter-attacking game and use their blanket defence similar to Donegal. Like, it's going to be nearly mirroring each other in Croke Park this weekend. And it'd be interesting to see how both teams manage that, mirroring each other in Croke Park in the wide open spaces. Like, last weekend wasn't a great game between them and Cork. It was nearly like both teams were consumed a wee bit of fear of losing. None of them wanted to lose. You know, and that score at the end for the free, that came from a turnover. I think Cork held, I read somewhere during the week, Cork held the ball for like 3 or 4 minutes. And that was a poor pass then from Cork. Louth got the turnover up the free. Sam Mulroy got the free and put it. He actually did brilliant. I can't remember if it was him or one of the other lads. They won a brilliant free, so they did up the pitch. He actually worked it really well. Like, he made sure he was fouled, so he was. And you have to think of it, like, these boys were in the Leinster final against Dublin. You talked about coming to Ballyshannon. They maintained their Division 2 status quite easily. People would have thought, new management then, these boys will go straight down to Division 3. You know, they maintained it quite easily. So they did, you know, after being probably in a bit of a mess and a bit of a rut. But Jer Brendan came in and got the ship steadied and put them between the hedges again. So they did. So they're getting the best out of them. Now, on a Donegal plus side, Cork had goal chances last weekend. So I think that's good for us. I think if we get in for goal, we're good at bagging them. You know, Brian Hurley caused them a bit of damage last weekend, but it probably not in the sense that he's did in games before. He didn't get as many shots off it like he usually does. And that probably comes back to what I said to you a minute ago. You know, they're average, Cork were averaging 18 points and they cut them to 9 scores. So that probably comes back to that defensive setup and the pressure that they put on the likes of Brian Hurley. So our forwards are going to come under a lot of pressure. You know, Cork had a lot of wides last weekend. That again comes from their defensive setup. But Cork don't have the quality we have, Paddy, up front. I think we have more quality up front than Cork. You know, when we'll had a bigger conversion rate than Cork had this weekend. Our conversion rate's pretty good every time we go attacks to shots to scores. You know, Louth didn't play with a lot of pace last week. I thought they were slow in the build up. They have pacey players, but too many times they were slow in the build up. I think Croke Parker, they're going to need to bring more pace. And they had the pace in the team. Maybe in a scheme last week allowed, because of a smaller pitch or whatever, played a smaller pitch maybe, it allowed the slow build-up. But, you know, it's there for Donegal. You know, it'll be the shock of all shocks if it doesn't go Donegal's way this weekend.
Okay, so you're going for Donegal in that one. Jason, yeah. Call it.
It's impossible to look past Donegal as well. Like, it's... Gary made a lot of valid points there about Louth, like, and they're a great side, but I think fatigue, like, time is going to catch up with them, and Donegal are going in fresh as well. I know the questions over Jason are worrying, but like, it's impossible to see past them. All the pressure's on Donegal. They're going to need to nail it down early. They're going to need to set out their stall early and make sure the game is played in their terms, but that's Jim McGuinness's bag. I wouldn't have any worries there. It's definitely going to be a lot tighter than people are going to call it, but I think Donegal should be looking at their first semi-final since 2014.
Okay, it's a Donegal podcast, so we don't care about anybody else. No, I'm only joking. Just very quickly, Jason, in 60 seconds, Dublin-Galway.
It'll be an interesting one. Like, I was asked about Dublin-Galway the other day, and I think that as well will be a lot closer than people think. I actually thought, I was at Dublin Mayo, and I thought the Dublin back six looked very, very vulnerable. I thought Mick Fitzsimons looked very vulnerable. I thought Stephen Cluxton was rattled at times. And I remember sitting there thinking, God, I wonder what would happen here if Oisin Gallen was running down Mick Fitzsimons' throat. But we can put that one in the back burner for a while. But I think if Shane Walsh is fit, Galway have an enormous chance. But Pádraig Joyce must be pulling his hair out with these injuries, because as soon as he seems to get Comer back in the pitch, Walsh seems to go off, and they've just been so unlucky with the casualty list for the past 2 years. It's really, really haunted them. Like, I think if Joyce has a full deck, they have a massive chance. But if Walsh isn't playing, it's an absolute game changer, and Dublin will win. Dublin looked out of their comfort zone when they were out of Croke Park as well. I think that was definitely a factor down in the Hyde when they played Mayo. Like, Mayo 100% should have won that game. You know, Brian Fenton had a massive off day. I think it was Dunnock in the queue that marked him out of it. You know, and Kieran Kilkenny was kind of taken out of the game as well, and they really struggled to deal with Ryan O'Donoghue. So I think Dublin at the back are vulnerable, and if Walsh and Comer were there, they could definitely be beaten. But the signs are that Shane won't make it, so that points to me for a Dublin one.
Just an award, Gary. I'll give you the Roscommon Armagh game. Dublin beat Galway.
Dublin.
Dublin. Okay. Armagh Roscommon.
Yeah. The only thing is, if Donegal get through and Armagh get through, boys, we can't play Armagh. It means we're going to get Derry, probably Kerry or Dublin. Now.
Yeah, well, if Donegal, say if, and I actually hate this, someone asked me on Twitter as well, and I hate the conversation because it just presumes you're going to be in the semis, but if Donegal beat Louth and if Armagh win and if Kerry and Dublin win, that is correct, Donegal would not be allowed to play Armagh in the semi-final. Mm. However, if Donegal were to win, Armagh were to win, and Derry were to win, and say Dublin, then it's actually an open draw because Donegal have played Armagh and Derry, but Derry have also played Armagh. And people are going, well, Donegal could have drawn Derry in the quarters. What are you talking about the semis? It actually changes from round to round. It's an open draw for the All-Ireland semi-final, but they will try and avoid repeat fixtures where possible. So if Donegal and Armagh both win and Kerry Dublin win, Donegal cannot play Armagh in the semi-final. But if Donegal win, Derry win and Armagh win and Dublin win, it's actually an open draw. Just bear with me with that. And
you've given me a sore head now, sir.
I know, but yeah, if Armagh win, Donegal win. And if the four favourites win, Donegal can't get Armagh. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. And back to the original question which you asked me. Sorry for going off point. Roscommon and Armagh. Hey, what a result for Roscommon last weekend. Everybody in Donegal, you know, no doubt was shouting them on to beat our lovely neighbours across the border in Tyrone. Nice to see their house in disarray for a change, you know, after spells last year. No love lost there, as you know. Come here, but I thought it was really interesting. I talked there about the Louth interviews afterwards. The Roscommon interviews I thought were brilliant afterwards last weekend as well. I can't remember which of the players, maybe Murta, or one of them was interviewed afterwards. And all he talked about was, we knew when the group was made, it was coming down. All we had to do was beat Cavan. You know, we knew we had that last game in the group. If we won that, we're through to the knockout stages. So he said, last year we went hard at it early on, super runs in championship and Connacht, going well in the league, and then they nearly died of thunder. They just ran out of gas. So I thought it was interesting. They've obviously changed their whole philosophy this year of when to peak. They weren't really worried about the two first games in the group because they probably thought, right, we mightn't won them games, so let's not put all our eggs in them baskets. Let's go after the Cavan game. And then after that Cavan game, got the result. Unbelievable to go into Healy Park last weekend. The energy they brought in Healy Park, the score taken that they brought in Healy Park was outstanding. You know, I think, you know, Armagh underestimate Roscommon at your peril this weekend because they seem to be taking a different approach than they did last year. Roscommon's one team I always admire. It can remind me a bit of Donegal. They've seemed to have superb players. We produce great footballers in Donegal. Roscommon always produce great footballers. And it nearly feels as if they need someone to give them a real good structure as regards in terms of a game plan. I think their quality of players, you could maximise them even more of what they have in there. Like, you know, Armagh, I think the couple of weeks rest going to help them. It's going to hard to look past them. But if you're going to look anywhere across for an upset this weekend, possibly this one, if you were giving me a tenner to go to the bookies, I'll still put it on Armagh. But there's going to be a close one. There's going to be a shock. I think it could be this one.
If you're buying pups off Gary McDade, the money you're handing over is going to the bookmakers. Just comment. So, Jason, the final one. For me, it is the big one this weekend of them all. Derry, Kerry. I would love Derry 2 weeks for this one. I think I could see Derry going strong early doors here. I'm going to be interested to see what's the 3 weeks going to do to them? What's your feeling on it?
Yeah, like you know, Derry, in fairness to them, produced their best performance of the year on Saturday. I thought Brendan Rodgers was just outstanding. It was, they looked back to their own selves after all that disarray, Donegal ambushing them in Celtic Park and Armagh doing the same, and Galway kind of steamrolling them in Salt Hill as well. But like Rodgers and Lachlan Murray, the pair of them were just absolutely outstanding. Conor McCluskey absolutely put the shackles on Ryan O'Donoghue as well after O'Donoghue kind of ran riot against Dublin the week before. I thought, you know, they were just so well set up. You know, they did kind of dance with the devil a couple of times with the high press again, but it wasn't as prevalent as it was against Donegal and Armagh. So they seemed to have learned their lesson a wee bit there. But I think, again, just the rest and everything else, and Kerry coming in fresh. I think Kerry are just so nicely bubbling under the radar. There's more Kerry players popping up with scores now as well. You know, there's 9-10 Kerry men getting on the score sheet now, as opposed to just David Clifford, Paddy Clifford, Sean O'Shea. I think that's been massive for them as well. Tadhg Morley looks back to his best. I thought he was outstanding when they won the All-Ireland in 2022. And they seem a lot tighter at the back, and I can't see Kerry not beating them. Like, I think David Clifford is even yet to hit full tilt top gear, and they'll just be mad to get to Croke Park. There are still questions over Kerry's midfield. If you ask any Kerry man you'd meet down there, I think that's still the problem area for them. It's still the worry for them. But it's just given the fact that Derry are going to be out for their third week in a row, I can't see them beating them. But again, could be tight. You know, that the boost of confidence that beating Mayo will bring to Derry is massive. Like, they were brilliant in the penalty shootout as well. I know it's an absolute lottery, but like, Oran Lynch produced a massive save there to deny Ryan O'Donoghue as well. And it's kind of like, it's similar to Donegal Louth, and that all the pressure will be on Kerry and there's no pressure on Derry at all. But I think the Kingdom will be, this is bread and butter for them. I think they'll be in the last four.
Listen, it's hard to look past Kerry. You know, I just think it's going to be a step too far for Derry this weekend. You know, it'd be interesting to see. What I'm really looking forward to is when they get beat, what's going to happen to the management team. You know, are they going to keep them? Are they going to get rid of them? You know, that's going to be the story probably over the next couple of weeks and maybe into the autumn. So it is, what's going to happen as regards Derry management. I just think Kerry have too much for them this weekend. They're going to look forward maybe to a good crack at them, and they're probably sick of listening to Derry about how they were so close to them last year, and that's probably annoying them, you know. And no doubt Jack O'Connor might be using that this year to them. He says, these boys are keep talking about they were so close to you last year, let's put that to bed this weekend, boys, and they'll just be bang out the gate into the semis.
Are we all going Sunday, lads? Jason, working, or?
Yeah, I'm going to go up early. I'm working at the Kerry Derry game, so I'm going to go up early and watch Donegal at my leisure. Whether it'll be at my leisure or not, I don't know, but that's the plan. I'm going to work at the second one and just take in the Donegal game. That's the plan anyway. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
Is it hard watching Donegal when you're working at it?
It is. It's usually not, but the Ulster final just totally changed all that. Like, once it ticked into extra time, it was very, very hard to keep the composure, because you know yourselves, lads, the pressure in Clonus that day was just off the charts. Like, and when we went to penalties then, I think my Fitbit watch was about to blow up. Like, I found that tough now. I found that tough to kind of keep me head and stay unbiased and stay professional. I got there in the end, but yeah, I found that tough now. I usually manage to keep my head and keep me cool and stay quite professional when I've been covering Donegal games, but the Ulster final day was different. And I think that was because of how bad things were last year, and you know, how much that Ulster title in particular meant for these players and the county and the lift that it gave the people. Because I was home that week, and just people were walking on sunshine, you know. And it's great to see, like, and you know, long may that continue. So that was tough. Now, I found that very, very tough to be in the press box. I'd love to have been in the hall with the boys, but it's not a bad spot to be either.
Yeah, it is tough keeping the head. Are you going Sunday, Gary?
Please God. So any spare concert tickets for Taylor Swift? You'd make a couple of happy women in this house, Paddy.
If you give me, I'll give you Taylor Swift. If you give me a Shania Twain.
Throwing a dog as well.
I'm afraid of dogs. I wasn't actually mess. Nah, it depends on the type of dog. Like more kind of sheep dogs, you know. So yeah, no.
One of the stories yesterday, we're talking with Micheál Moriarty at the start. One of the stories yesterday, I read he bought a dog. He was commentating. I can't remember the game now. He was commentating the game, and he says, I bought a dog off his dad last week, off his father last week, and he's put it wide. And the dog lost too.
Like a news greyhounds. Yeah.
I met him actually in Shelburne Park back a long time ago. I was only about 8 or 9. I didn't realize that he was so obsessed with dogs as well. Like he was mad into them, yeah. Just a number of people are asking me about the club championship draw. So it's been moved to next week because the county secretary, Declan Martin's mother, sadly passed away, Mary Martin. So on behalf of everybody at the Donegal GAA podcast, we offer Declan Martin and all the family sympathies there. And the draw has been moved to Wednesday, the 3rd of July at 7 p.m. in the Abbey Hotel, Donegal Town. So yeah, Declan Martin, great guy there. And sympathies once again for the loss of his mother, Mary Martin. So there you have it. That's it for the midweek edition of the Donegal GAA podcast. I'll see you both on Sunday, lads. There's nothing like it, is there, Gary, when Donegal are going well, you know? And then you really hop into the club then, the club championship. I know club leagues are on as well, but it is some buzz, isn't it? It almost takes away any other problem you have momentarily when Donegal are winning, small or big. We all have day-to-day problems, everybody does, but it's like that day in Celtic Park, we were there together, Gary, and, you know, Jason's on about the Ulster final and that. They're just unreal days. Like,
class. Hey, you know, and these quarterfinals, I used to enjoy them when you could go up and maybe stay in Dublin for reasonable money on the Saturday and go to the 4 quarterfinals. Over the weekend, it would have been really good. And as you said, there's club league fixtures this weekend as well. So that's going to rule that out for a lot of people this weekend that they can't go maybe up on the Saturday, because it is always great, because I think the Wolby 4 actually got really good games. And I always remember, funny, the Super 8s game in Croke Park, Donegal and Kerry. I remember me and the Young Buck. The Young Buck still talks about it here, and he was still going to YouTube and watch that highlights. Really remember they ended up something like, I can't remember the exact score, but they ended up 19 points each or something. Was unreal kicking a couple of years ago in the Super 8s game in Croke Park, was where they had to be a neutral game. And what a game, you know, like it's days like that you remember going into Croke Park when you're playing big games at
120 each, wasn't it, or something?
Something like that. It was ridiculous. And my young Phil's well young at the time. Like, he's only 10 now, but he was even well young at that time. And he was still going to YouTube now to watch back highlights of that game, because it just sticks in his memory. It's had a big impact on him, that kind of game, you know.
One McHugh got a disallowed goal that day. He was very unlucky. I think he got done for a square ball.
We thought we were coming that time, didn't we? Like, we nearly thought that was going to be the start of a big rivalry. Michael Murphy got a penalty that day into the old canal. And Shane Lowry won the golf that day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking there, I was giving out about maybe provincial grounds. When we beat Kildare in 2011, I remember being, I think it was a Saturday night in Croke Park. Jeez, there might have been only 30,000 there, hey, but it felt as if there were 60,000 there. Remember the Kevin Casty point? It was unbelievable. Like, so maybe I'm being a bit harsh in thinking back now what I said earlier about going to provincial grounds, because if the game's good, you know, the energy and noise will still happen in Croke Park. Because I remember that night, there wasn't a lot of people around me. There was plenty of space, but geez, the noise was still electric.
Yeah, there's absolutely no doubt about that. And thanks a million, Gary and Jason. Just a reminder to our listeners, if you're out and about Sunday, you're not going to Croke Park and you can't watch it on TV, it's live on Ocean FM, and we'll have the Donegal GAA podcast released either really late Sunday night. We may go Monday morning this week, though. Jason, did I hear the semi-final draw is on after, it's on the Sunday evening this time, or did I just make that up in my head?
There's whispers of that, Paddy. I have no absolute confirmation.
It's not confirmed.
I heard that too.
Yeah, hopefully it is, lads, because this Monday morning crack, I can't cope with it at all.
Stop.
You're way
Hey, it's really unfair. I know it's bad for you, Jason, the media, but it's really unfair in those management teams.
Ridiculous, really Gary. Absolutely ridiculous.
It's absurd. Like, and it's all, these meetings are all dictated about when's going to be on Saturday and when's going to be on Sunday, because who can show what in Diego and who can show what in RTE. If we're honest about it, and you don't have to scratch the surface much to see that that's the crack. Like, it should be on Sunday night to start drumming up the interest. It should be locked in Sunday night so that the logistics and everything from players, management, and supporters can be locked into place. It's driving me absolutely mad. You can see the grey hairs coming here, boys, already.
I'm not being funny, but the Sunday game even would be the time to do it. The flagship show on the GAA, and we all know on Sunday nights, because we're all, everyone's depressed waiting on Monday morning. You know, You shouldn't have to wait for a draw Monday morning. And even small things, and 100% Gary, management team, players, logistics, they've been, especially for the likes of Donegal, Derry, Kerry, Galway, traveling huge distances to Croke Park. And then the fans, you might need to organise a babysitter. And a day does make a big difference with everything. Hotels, like, you're on about hotels, sir. No chance this weekend in Dublin. No chance.
I don't know where them teams are going to manage.
I actually don't know how they're doing that, actually. That is interesting. That is interesting.
Stay out in Meath or some of the boarding counties. Maybe looking for somewhere. You might have to put a lock on them up, Paddy.
I am a good enough spin from Dublin, but I'll keep a few people up if they give me loads of information. I'll put you up, Gary, if you want.
Good man, Paddy.
I'll put you up if you want. But no,
just listen. Let's call me breakfast.
Well, if you want to make the game, you won't have me making breakfast for you, because you'll have food poisoning for about a week. But Jason will tell you, I do a good scrambled egg. So there you have it. Jason Bourne, a.k.a. Mosey from Killybegs, the main man, the GAA correspondent with the Irish Sun. Gary McDade, the pride of Glen Swilly, the Glen Swilly manager this year as well, lads. I really appreciate your time for coming on the Donegal GAA podcast. Thanks, lads.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Cheers, boys.
Okay, that's it for the midweek edition of the Donegal GAA podcast. Donegal Be Loud is live on Sunday on Ocean FM at 1:15. We will have the podcast released either late Sunday night or early Monday morning. We will wait, and it will depend on the actual draw. If the draw is on the Sunday evening, we'll have the podcast the Sunday evening. If not, we'll wait till Monday morning. Big shout out and thanks to Austin O'Callaghan back at base, and to our sponsors, Donegal Plumbing and Heating, O'Lahy Road, Donegal Town, and to your loyal listeners, we will talk to you either late Sunday night or Monday morning. Bye for now.
FM. Donegal Plumbing and Heating, Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town, suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samson and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs, and sponsors of the Donegal GAA podcast.